Focus. A memoir. Written by Ingrid Rix. Narrated by Robin Marika. For John, Sid, and Hannah, who remind me every day what counts. And for my dad, who was right. Chapter 1. Late January, 2004. There was something wrong with the machine. For the past 5 minutes, I'd been staring into a large, box-shaped medical device, waiting to have my peripheral vision checked. The eye doctor's assistant, a thin, blonde woman with a chin-length bob and caked-on makeup, told me that all I had to do was press on the clicker I was holding whenever I saw a white dot flash anywhere inside that metal box. Simple enough. Except that, after pressing my forehead against the headrest for so long I felt a crease forming, I still hadn't seen a flashing dot. "When are you going to start the test?" I finally asked the woman, still pushing my forehead against the headrest. I needed to get it over with so I could pick up my 5-year-old daughter from her Montessori school and get her to a children's music audition 20 miles away. "It's been going for a while," she replied. She was young, no more than 23 or 24. I couldn't see her face now because of the box I was staring into, but I imagined it was blank and a bit dazed. She was probably thinking about where she was going to party that evening. And the idea that she was so checked out she couldn't even properly administer the test irked me. I jerked my head away from the box and shot her an annoyed look. "Well, it's not working then, because nothing is happening." I stepped out of the way so the assistant could check it out for herself. She positioned herself on the stool, pushed her forehead against the headrest, and gazed through the small window into the box. "It seems to be working fine for me," she announced a minute later, pushing herself away from the machine and resuming her testing position. "Why don't we try it again?" Her words jarred me, and something about the way she said them felt like 1,000 tiny needles all jamming into my skin at once. She didn't look at me when she talked, but I could tell it wasn't out of complacency. She suddenly seemed very attentive and serious, and I liked this version of her even less. For the first time since I had heard the words degenerative eye disease the day before, panic shot through me. I took my seat in front of the metal box and picked up the clicker. "Ready?" she asked. "Yeah." I waited for the flashing lights. Nothing. My stomach was a tangle of knots, and they were pulling me so tight I could hardly breathe. I jerked my forehead back from the headrest a second time and stood up from the stool. "It's just not working," I declared, trying to keep my voice steady. "I'm going to get the doctor," the assistant mumbled. "Why don't you just take a seat in the chair?" My body found its way into the black reclining patient chair. I could feel my hands shaking, but I couldn't stop them. I didn't want the eye doctor to see me cry, but I couldn't keep the tears in. The meaning of his quiet, serious words from the previous day were suddenly taking hold. The eye doctor walked into the room and put his hand on my knee. He didn't speak for a few minutes. He just left his hand there while I sobbed. He was about my age, somewhere in his mid to late 30s, and only 24 hours earlier we were joking and swapping stories about our toddlers. Now he was patting my leg and comforting me like I was a toddler myself. "We already knew this wasn't going to be good," he started out slowly, carefully choosing his words. "What do you mean, we?" I wanted to shout back. It's true, he had told me that the spidery pigment he saw when he looked into the back of my eyes resembled something he referred to as retinitis pigmentosa. And when I Googled the foreign-sounding words later that evening, some of the symptoms, such as night blindness and loss of peripheral vision, matched what I had been experiencing. But the information I found online also said it was a hereditary disease, and as far as I knew, not a single person in my extended family had anything like this. What's more, the information I found said that people with RP were legally blind by age 40. But at 37, I had perfect 20/20 vision. Then there was the final bit of information that had made me turn off my computer. The part about losing all remaining eyesight by your mid-50s. I reminded myself that the eye doctor had told me he was only guessing at the RP diagnosis. Clearly, he had made a mistake. "We don't have to do this today if you don't want to," the eye doctor continued in a gentle tone. "Either way, the end result is the same. I need..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?